An oak tree can grow for more than a century before it's ready to be turned into a wooden barrel. And because that wood is so precious, that same barrel will then go on to be used time and time again.
You know, by the time a barrel might come to the end of its life, in reality, the next sapling that grew in its parent's place could be ready for the next generation of barrel.
Finbar Kern is the wood planning and maturation team lead at Irish Distillers Middleton Distillery. Part of Finbar's job is to source the wooden barrels. As the climate crisis deepens, these barrels need to be made from trees grown in sustainable forests.
You know, that they're following a good forestry management practice. They might be going in, they're knocking out a tree here, a tree there. They ensure that there's continuous cover, forestry. You know, there's good biodiversity. It's about taking out the right trees at the right time to allow for that forest to flourish.
150,000 wooden barrels arrive into Middleton every year, convincing the landowners, sawmills and cooperages that supply them to do things sustainably is a huge challenge. But Finbar has had help along the way from an Irish forester who shows people how to grow forests sustainably.
Nature does an awful lot of the work for you if you allow it.
Paddy Purser set up ProSilva in 2001. It's part of a European-wide movement that's all about managing Ireland's forests in the most sustainable way possible.
Nobody disputes the fact that Ireland needs more forests, but it's the type of forest. You know, what type of forest do we want and how should it be managed?
In this episode of the podcast, we're exploring the curious paths taken by a former construction engineer and a green pioneer from the forestry world, before exploring how a passion for sustainability in our forests brought them together.
The amount of work we've done with Paddy and the amount of stuff I've learned from Paddy over the years is just enormous. And he's really opened my eyes and my colleagues' eyes.
I'm Julian Clancy, the host of A Perfect Blend, a four-part mini-series from Irish Distillers. In each episode, we'll speak to creators and craftspeople in the world of Irish whiskey, whose work is interwoven with partners across the globe, and through their eyes, discover the power of collaboration. Episode 3, Sustained Excellence. Paddy Purser grew up in the early 80s in a busy suburb in the south of Dublin. His dad, who was a mathematician, would often pile Paddy and his brothers into the car no matter what the weather, and drive off to the mountains, to the coast, or even the forests in Wicklow. It was through these weekend day trips that Paddy fell in love with the outdoors. And when it came to choosing a career, Paddy knew what he wanted to do.
The subjects I enjoyed were always natural science type subjects like geography and biology and so on. And there was always a feeling or a sense that I would be working outdoors. I didn't know what in, but I knew that the kind of job I wanted was an outdoor-focused job.
For Paddy, when it came to choosing a career, he chose forestry purely by gut. And so he attended UCD, where he learned more about Ireland's trees and forests.
I learned a lot about how trees grow, you know, the actual physiology of trees. And from that point of view, it was fantastic. It was just my criticism, if you like, if you want to call it that, would be everything was kind of channeled or focused around optimizing the growth of trees for timber production and not necessarily with an environmental focus. You know, it was kind of like an afterthought. We can do a little bit here and there for the environment, but most of the function of the forest is to produce timber.
When Paddy was at college, the focus at that time was very much on the commercial end of forestry. Paddy attended lectures covering things like how to plan and develop these massive plantations of trees, usually Sitka spruce, and then how to harvest them all at the same time through a process called clear felling. Back in the early 90s, Ireland's forests were more like factories.
You have to remember the history of Irish forestry was that we had virtually no forests left at the beginning of the 20th century. And so for good reason, there was a very strong forest policy which said we have to become more self-sufficient in timber production and try and kickstart an industry, a forest products industry. And that's what happened. And it's only having achieved that, that we can reflect and say, well, how do we make these forests now? How do we make them more balanced? And so that kind of thinking was starting to come in around the late 1980s, early 1990s.
Finbar Kern, who grew up in Ballincollig in County Cork, also grew up with a love for the outdoors. Finbar had not one, but three tree houses. And there was one in particular that he was mad about.
And this was no ordinary tree house either, I suppose. It was probably the only tree house in Cork. It didn't have a roof, but it had carpet. So it made for a good bug hotel. So you now see kind of bug hotels popping up everywhere. It's great for biodiversity. But it's kind of clear from the evidence, I suppose, that from a young age, I had that sustainability trait in me bursting to get out, I suppose.
For Finbar, deciding what to do after school was easy.
Yeah, so for me, I suppose, construction is something that's always been in the blood. It's been in the family. Kind of started at the bottom, doing bits and pieces, you know, like being a kind of a technician on the engineering side, setting out. You know, I would have been one of the last people on, say, a big, you know, 60 million euro maternity hospital, handing over operating theatres prior to being handed over, you know. So it was a vast experience over, you know, a relatively short period of time.
When Finbar started off back in the early 2000s, he was working at the height of the Celtic Tiger, a time when any kind of environmental concerns usually took a backseat to the building boom.
You know, I remember doing a big job on the construction side, and you know, you're filling skips with just lots of waste material. You know, it could be plasterboard, timber, blocks, all that type of stuff. The volume of waste was just very high, I suppose, at the time. But as the years progressed, I suppose, different types of certifications come in place where companies are trying to do things right. You might have to have this particular environmental certification to get on a Tinder list so that you can price jobs on the government sector. And it was great that, you know, the construction company I was working with at the time, when they got the environmental certification, there was a lot of learnings that I was able to pick up. So I would have learned a lot on the construction side.
Eventually, the long days, incredible workloads and distant commutes took its toll on Finbar. And he knew that something had to change.
And I was kind of thinking at the time going, you know, there's got to be a better way of making a living. But more importantly, being able to see my kids grow up. I'm local to Middleton Distillery, and I knew it was a fantastic place to work. So a job popped up, the bond supervisor job, and it was, in reality, it was the first position that I applied for. And I must have talked a good talk, but they were crazy enough to give me a job. So the rest is history from that point of view. So I'm very grateful that I was afforded that opportunity, you know.
For Paddy, starting off as a young forester, working with landowners and farmers to help them grow commercial forests, he still had those doubts about how the way things were being done in the industry. This all changed when he met a forest owner in County Clare called Robert Tottenham. Robert had discovered an alternative approach to forestry that was widespread all over Europe. It was a close-to-nature approach called pro-silva that managed forests in a way that you could still harvest trees for their timber, but you would protect that huge impact that forests could have on nature and the environment.
It may not be optimal in terms of production or things like that, but in terms of long-term sustainability, it definitely helps. It definitely helps.
Paddy has been working with clients all over Ireland, and one of them is Irish distillers.
From the very beginning, I have to say, we spoke the same language, because sustainability would have been mentioned about 50 times in the conversation. So it was a very natural kind of marriage of thoughts and ideas from the start.
So for this episode of the podcast, we wanted to bring together Finbar and Paddy to talk about the whole issue of sustainability, the challenges involved, and what we need to do to look after the forests of today so they're protected for tomorrow.
Yeah, so like I suppose I wanted to kind of have a chat with you about, you know, your childhood and when did this love affair with forests and trees you know, when did it really kind of take hold, I suppose, and what kind of shaped it?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have honed in on trees until much later, but I was very much grew up loving the mountains and the wild, but I didn't love the forest any more than I did the mountain or the lake. So the tree and forest element of it came in, you could nearly say, as a result of the CAO system, which is very unromantic, a way of putting it. But I could have gone easily. I could have become a geologist or a biologist or something else, you know, if the points were different. Nearly every day I consider myself completely stoked that I actually ended up doing this, even though I knew nothing about it at the time. Even having been through midlife and all of that, the crisis never came, and I'm still in love with it. So
that's gold. I listen all day long, Paddy. That's brilliant.
I haven't had an opportunity to hear your side of things, Finbar.
Aren't you lucky?
I still, the only knowledge I have of your past is that I have this picture of you commuting from Cork to Dublin, Celtic Tiger Finbar. Commuting up to Dublin and then getting out of that kind of rat race to go to join Irish Distillers was a big change for you, I think.
Thankfully, I suppose the path I've taken, I'm proud of taking the path that I've taken, and I'm proud to be doing the work that I'm doing, and you know, grateful that I'm in a position that I can influence a change on a relatively big scale, which again is only a drop in a huge ocean, but it is fantastic to be able to be in that position, because you do get a huge sense of satisfaction, and especially when you have kind of family and kids, you know, a lot of what you do, yes, you're doing it for the business, but you're doing it for your kids, and you're doing it for your kids' kids as well. It's just, you know, really, really rewarding to be able to be in that position. I suppose it's similar to you, Paddy. I suppose, you know, when you were kind of looking at the, you know, new ideology and, you know, continuous cover forestry, how were you viewed in the industry when you were coming back with these thoughts and ideas?
We were probably regarded as mad mavericks who were trying to introduce a system of forestry to Ireland that there's no proof that it was going to work. And we thought of lots of excuses why it mightn't. We would never change the culture of what was going on in the industry. And we were regarded as maybe as anti-establishment or anti-industry or something, which wasn't true. You know, we weren't necessarily anti anybody or anti anything. We were just wanted to offer a choice to forest owners that if they didn't want to clear fell their forests, they shouldn't feel that they had to. You know, there should be another way for them to manage the forest, just like is practiced elsewhere. And it's become much more mainstream now, and we're definitely not mavericks anymore. We're just offering another type of service. But I'm really interested, Finbar, in your role in Irish Distillers. You've got these relationships with people who speak different languages or from completely different geographies or parts of the world, and how have you found that aspect of it?
You know, we work all, I suppose, in various countries around the world. You know, we get casts, a good chunk of casts from Spain, big Spanish butts. You know, casts from France, Hungary, Portugal. There's so many different various areas that you can look for, and so many different wood types and so many different wood species and things like that. So like, it's hugely wide and varied. You know, everyone wants to do it in the right way. Deep down, it's more about, you know, are they willing to take on the fight?
I remember when I first did trips to Spain and Portugal, what amazed me was these people we met who were small businesses or individuals who had these long-term relationships with the company and with yourselves and your predecessors in the same jobs. And that this kind of relationship went back and goes back generations in some cases, you know. So I just painted for me, for somebody maybe who would have sometimes a cynical image of big business, if you like, or industry, to see that it doesn't have to be all about spreadsheets and numbers. At the bottom of it, or maybe at the top of it, was these relationships.
You know, we've through the University of Santiago, there's been a student, Adriana, doing work for us. So she goes out and she's talking to landowners, and she's basically feet on the ground talking to landowners, trying to persuade them that, you know, if they sign a simple form or contract, it can enter a chain of custody. And like, you know, in Galicia, 2/3 of Galicia is covered in trees. But of that forestry coverage, 98% of that is privately owned. The average size of the plot of ground is 0.5 hectare. And you might only get maybe one tree that might be, you know, Cooper grade oak. So it's important to reward the people for doing the right things, and they carry on doing it. And hopefully that kind of gets around, and word gets around, and it spreads to the neighbours, and they all start doing it the right way. And again, it's just about influencing and trying to get the good message out there.
But I'm sure you're getting it, Finbar, as well, in terms of your premium brands with Dar Gaelach or Middleton. You know, people want to know the story behind things.
I think it's something that's going to grow more and more. As you said earlier, you know, people question things more. People want to understand the backstory, and I suppose that sends us, you know, down different paths where we try and let people understand the experiences that we have. You could have a project like on Dar Gaelach, where we go out to an estate here in Ireland, and we fell a number of trees, and we track those trees through the process, so much so that when you get a bottle of whiskey at the end of it, we know what tree number that barrel was used that went into that bottle. It's fantastic to have stories like that, because it can be done.
Absolutely. I mean, there's huge interest in the sustainability side of it and the authenticity of that. And so people want to know, they want to know more than just whether it's sustainable or not. They want to know, they want transparency about what the process is. And so they want to know, well, where do the trees come from that you're planting, for example? Where is the timber going after it's cut? You know, the whole story behind things, people want to understand better. And this, in a way, you know, they want to know the people behind the product, and they want to know the story behind the product as well.
I feel personally that there's such a huge focus on sustainability now. And thankfully, I'm with a big company that can use our influence and prescribe to that ideology about sustainability. Every time we kind of do a visit, it's always about progressing, you know, next step, next step, next step, and getting closer to completing that jigsaw. So I know I've come, you know, home at times with that, you know, buzz feeling going, we are making a difference. And hopefully you've had the same feeling.
Yeah, everything happens slowly but surely. Going back to Talas Kalner's, the Latvian forester in Wales, he had this saying, make hay slowly. You know, nothing happens overnight, but you have to pass through certain landmarks and hold those and go to the next one then.
You know, it's all about laying the groundwork for the future generations. And, you know, me being an Irish distiller, it's only kind of we're only custodians for a short period of time. And it's making sure that whatever way we pick it up, we give it back in a better position. You know, it goes without saying, it's the same way in forestry. You know, you want to, I'm sure you go into every forest thinking, you know, okay, we have something now, but how can we improve this that, you know, the next generation is going to benefit even better from it, you know?
Yeah, well, I always said, Finbar, we'll make a forester of you yet.
Here's hoping, Paddy. Here's hoping. Maybe in retirement. Yeah. In retirement.
I don't think you'll ever make a distiller of me, though.
Yeah, you never know. You can spot a good tree, Paddy.
A huge thank you to Paddy Purser and Finbar Kern for being our guests on this episode of A Perfect Blend. On the next episode of A Perfect Blend, I'll be exploring how storytelling can take many different forms, from forgotten tales in a 200-year-old archive to the bottle design of a brand new whiskey from Irish distillers.
There was an awful lot of buzz, an awful lot of excitement around the bottle design. What is it going to look like? What are the labels going to look like? And because it was so new, you know, it could be anything.
A Perfect Blend is hosted and produced by me, Julian Clancy. and is a four-part mini-series for Irish distillers. You can listen back to all four episodes on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Always drink responsibly.